Good evening. It is such a blessing to be with you tonight and have the opportunity to worship together, to sing songs together. I thank John for leading those songs for us tonight. I think Sunday evening services are such a blessing. I remember one time I was on a mission trip in Mexico, and I was with a congregation there, and they were making certain requests about supplies that they needed. And one thing that they mentioned is that they wished that they had lighting in the facility so that they could have the opportunity, the blessing, to have a Sunday evening service. And so how blessed we are to be able to gather here tonight, to fellowship with each other and to sing praises together to our God. And I know that He is honored by that and is glorified by that. On Paul's second missionary journey, he planted a congregation that became very special to him. The church at Philippi. Fast forward 12 years, and Paul is in a Roman prison on trial for his life. From his prison cell, Paul writes a letter to the Christians at Philippi, encouraging them to remain faithful in their service to Christ. Our text this evening will come from Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. Paul says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." Paul is in a Roman prison. The church at Philippi is quite naturally concerned about him. They don't know what the outcome of his imprisonment will be. Either Paul will be released or he will be executed. Paul wishes to offer a word of encouragement to them. He says in verse 19, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that yes, I am in prison. Yes, the outcome is uncertain. I don't know whether I will live or whether I will die. But I want you to understand through your prayers, through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I will be delivered." Let's note what kind of deliverance Paul expected to receive. Verse 20. "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed." What does it mean to feel shame? Shame is that dreadful feeling of guilt or failure when things don't go the way that I hoped that they would. We've all experienced this. Perhaps you are in a school play. It comes time for you to say your lines. And suddenly you can't remember anything. Your heart is beating very fast. Everyone is staring at you. Or perhaps your team is counting on you. The quarterback throws the ball. You are running as fast as you possibly can to get there. And the ball slips right between your fingers. Well, what is the opposite of shame? The opposite of shame is to be honored. It comes time for you to present your lines, and you do so beautifully. And then everyone applauds. Or your team is counting on you, and you're running as fast as you can. The quarterback throws the ball, and right there it is in your hands, safely tucked away so that you can run into the end zone. And then everyone stands and yells in excitement for this moment that you're having. Paul says, I will not be ashamed. So what is the opposite of Paul being ashamed? He's being honored, right? No. Paul says, I will not be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. I will not be ashamed, but Christ will be honored, or Christ will be magnified. Paul is giving us a glimpse into what he values and cherishes and honors above all else. And that's Jesus. What you feel shame about or honor about is largely contingent on what you love the most. Paul loves Jesus more than anything or more than anyone. And he writes this letter to the Christians at Philippi. They don't know what the outcome is going to be. Is Paul going to live? Is Paul going to die? And Paul says, brothers, sisters, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that whether I live or whether I die, it doesn't matter. Either way, Christ, whether by my living or by my dying, he's going to be magnified. He's going to be glorified. The heart of our lesson tonight is verse 21. If we walk away with anything, I want us to walk away with this passage. Paul says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, what do you mean by that? Chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul says, I count all things as loss. What things is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about being a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, a persecutor of the church. He's talking about being blameless or feeling blameless and justified by the law. But Paul says, I count all of these as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. For me to live is Christ. He further unpacks this for us in verse 22. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Well, what does that mean? If I'm living in the flesh, then that means fruitful labor for me. Well, who was that fruitful labor for? Verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith. Paul's fruitful labor was for the Philippians. They were special and dear and precious in his eyes. And he says, I'm torn between these two places. I could go on and depart and be with Christ, or I could stay here and I could labor fruitfully for you, with you, for your progress in the faith, for your joy. For me to live is Christ. That has to mean something. It's not just something that we say. It's not a verse that we memorize. It's not something that sounds catchy. It's not a Facebook status. It changes us at every level of who we are. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. To know Christ, the value of Him surpasses everything else. If the value of Jesus is more precious to me than anyone or anything, then it will affect every aspect of my life, my thoughts, my actions, my words, my motives, my values, my relationships. And what does Paul say is the result of all of this? Christ will be glorified. And that's exactly what should happen, is Christ should be glorified. What happens when we exalt ourselves? What are we doing? We're saying, I want you to look at me. And when I do that, what happens? I am distracting each and every person that I meet from the one person that they need to honor, that they need to glorify, and that's God. When Jesus says, I want you in your life, I want you to magnify me, I want you to glorify me, I want you to esteem me very highly. When he does that, when he says that, it's not out of selfishness, it's not out of arrogance. It's so that your joy, it's so that my joy can be complete. Because knowing Him, praising Him, magnifying Him is the only way that I can have any kind of true joy or peace. Let's focus on the second part of verse 21, because Paul also understands that each of us, eventually, we must leave this world that we're in. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, are you sure? Is it better for me to depart? Paul says it's far better to depart. Is that better than falling in love? Is that better than hugging my children? Is that better than a promotion at work? Is that better than a well-deserved retirement? Paul says, for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, I count it all as loss, I count it all as rubbish, it's nothing. Is that how we feel? Paul says, in life, Christ will be magnified, Christ will be glorified. Here in my death, Christ will be honored. How do I honor Jesus in my dying? I honor our Lord in my dying to the degree that he is more precious than anyone or anything. If it is true for me that to live is Christ and to die is gain, it's far better, it surpasses anything else, then there will be some very real changes in how I live. If the value of Christ surpasses all things, then first, it will affect my prayer life. If Jesus is more important to me than anything, then I will spend time in prayer. And not only will I do that, but I will find opportunities to be alone, to be in quiet. It makes me think of Daniel. Daniel, whenever he went to pray, it says that he knelt down before his window and he opened up the window toward Jerusalem. Now, why did he want to be facing toward Jerusalem? Because that's where Daniel believed that the presence of God was. Whenever Jesus is more precious than anything, then I want to be in his presence. I'll find my own quiet place like Daniel did, and I'll get on my knees, or if I can't get on my knees for a physical reason, then I'll get in the most humbling position that I can before God and just say, Lord, here I am. I'm prepared to die for you, but I'm also prepared to live for you, and I'm also prepared to pray to you. If knowing Christ surpasses all else for us, then it will affect our worship. When Jesus is most precious, then suddenly our prayers become fresh. Our interest in singing heightens. Whenever someone is praying up here or wherever, we're praying with them, for them. We're walking beside them as they talk with God, as they meditate on his things that are precious to him. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. How amazing is that? How amazing is it that we're here today and we're worshiping as a church family, but one day we are all going to be together in heaven. Jesus says, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you, but I've gone to prepare a place for you. Jesus has a place in heaven waiting for you, a place waiting for me. What a precious thing that is. And I know that it will be so amazing to actually be with him. That's why Paul says it's so much better. We can be in God's presence now, but his presence is going to be felt so much more strongly when we are with him. I want to read you the lyrics of one of my favorite songs. It says, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for creating us, for revealing yourself to us, and for giving yourself fully to us. You didn't withhold anything. You gave us your son, Jesus. He walked on this earth for 33 years. He was perfect. He was blameless. He was holy in all ways. And God, we are drawn to him this evening, and we're so thankful for his
beautiful example and his perfect sacrifice of love on the cross. God, we're so thankful for Paul and for his heart and for his willingness to be in prison and to be in a situation that required great perseverance in order to be content. And Lord, we're so thankful that he has left us with this beautiful record found in Philippians. And God, we're so thankful to know that Paul wanted to be with you more than anything else, and that he wanted to live for you more than anything else, and that he understood that Jesus is the only thing that matters, and that at the very last day, all that will matter is that our name is found in the book of life. We love your son, and we're so thankful for him, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're here tonight and you have any need, then we want you to come forward this time. It doesn't have to mean that you've done something wrong. It could just mean that you feel discouraged and you want your church family to wrap their arms around you. It could just mean that you have something going on in your life and you want us to lift that up in prayer for you. Or maybe you know that Jesus is not number one in your life. You know that in the deepest part of your heart, you don't relate with Paul's words. If you have any need tonight, then we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.